I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Michael Toth, Director of Research for the Civitas Institute, the University of Texas at Austin, writing most recently at Civitas Outlook about what we're witnessing in Washington right now, the shutdown. What is it about? Is it about the ability to fire people from the Department of Commerce? No. Is it about Donald Trump's popularity? No. It's about Obamacare. Total revelation to me, and I welcome Michael to help me understand how the ghost from the past, this would be the Obama administration, is still with us and more expensive than ever. Michael, a very good evening to you. Obamacare was then, but now it's now. Something's happened. One part of Congress wants to extend subsidies. The other part of Congress says that's enough. What subsidies? Extend where? Well, how does it work? Good evening to you, Michael.
John, it's so great to be on with you. And I'm back on your program and Obamacare is back in the news. How about that? You know, I'm thinking back to the time that Obamacare was last in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And Antonin Scalia, the late, great Antonin Scalia, referred to it as SCOTUS care. I think we may have to update that to shutdown care is kind of the current name for Obamacare. And yes, it seems to always be running into trouble. And Obamacare is at the center of the current government shutdown. So what are we talking about? And as you put it, John, just a second ago, we're talking about, you know, subsidies that are going to insurance companies. And they come in two flavors. So there's two issues that are causing the different parts of Congress to be at odds with each other. So one is an increased subsidy under some legislation that was passed during the Biden presidency that allows individuals who earn over 400% of the federal poverty line to collect Obamacare subsidies. Okay, so the takeaway of that first bonus is that you could have individuals earning over $500,000 a year for a family of four in West Virginia, 20 times the poverty rate, who are eligible for subsidized health insurance through the Obamacare exchanges. Okay, so that's the issue when you hear in the news, when you hear these debates in Washington, when you read editorials and they talk about the income caps, that's what they're talking about. Okay, so under Obamacare, as originally written, you could not get subsidies for insurance on the Obamacare exchanges if you earned over 400% of the federal poverty line. Congress lifted that limit during the Biden presidency. Okay, so that is one limit where by lifting it, more subsidies are going to insurance companies to pay for individuals who earn over 400% of federal poverty. That's one subsidy. Now, again, that's scheduled to expire at the end of this year, if not, if Congress doesn't extend it. That's one of the reasons why we're in shutdown. The other reason, again, also related to Obamacare, that we're in shutdown mode right now is same backdrop as the income limits. Same backdrop. This is a change to Obamacare that came during the Biden presidency. So this isn't in Obamacare as it was originally drafted. This came during some revisions that Congress did during the Biden presidency, kind of under the COVID emergency sort of posture that never seems to end. And so what Congress did in this other issue is they basically said you get 100% of your Obamacare subsidies covered if you earn between 100 and 150% of the federal poverty line. Now, before this Biden era change, you got the vast bulk of your premiums covered if you earn between 100 and 150% of the federal poverty line you went on the exchanges. You got vast bulk of the premium subsidized. What Congress did during the pandemic in the Biden administration is they said, we're going to take that up to 100%. Well, that's scheduled to expire, and it would go back to the original Obamacare limits for folks that make between 100 and 150% of the federal poverty line. So that's kind of the separate subsidy issue. So two different subsidies, two changes, both happened during the Biden era, both are scheduled to expire this year, and they are the reason why the federal government is in shutdown. It's nothing else. It's those two tax subsidies. So that's what's going on in Washington, John.
To frame this, I want to go back to the original. Because you, in your essay, you introduced me again to the tangled web of Obamacare in the Supreme Court summer of 2012, when Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, called it a tax, even though it was not a tax until that moment. All right. The original idea for younger people who weren't there, Michael, is that the healthy young people were going to pay more for their insurance to subsidize the unhealthy people who were going to pay less. Did that ever work?
Well, it failed on its own terms. And that was the original plan. And, in my piece, which is up on the Civitas Outlook, I think the title of it is Obamacare Needs Life-Altering Surgery. I have a quotation from the Kaiser Family Foundation, which is a widely quoted organization kind of in the healthcare space. If you're reading articles right now about Obamacare, whether they're coming from the left or the right or somewhere in the middle, very often you'll see quotations and statistics from Kaiser. So in any case, the line that I have from Kaiser goes back to 2013, and Kaiser talks about cross subsidies, right? Obamacare was built on cross subsidies. And what they're talking about is the young subsidizing the old, right? So the young are not invincible. However, just statistically speaking, the young need less health care. The young and single need less health care than individuals as they get older, right? And so what Obamacare could have done is had age-adjusted premiums for younger, healthier people, right? So they would pay their insurance premiums based on risk-adjusted rates, which would be lower. But Obamacare regulation said, no, we can't have these wide price differences between what the young are paying at the low end and what older, riskier to insure individuals are paying as they go on. So by bringing those prices closer together, they were bringing the prices for the younger, healthier would be insured up with right. The idea that they would cross subsidize by paying more than the market would otherwise provide, that they would be cross-subsidizing for.
And that never happened, right?
Right. And it never happened despite the best efforts
sure.
of the Obama administration. So I have this story in the piece up on Civitas Outlook, and it's a great story. I really encourage folks, check out the piece. Even if you don't read it word for word down to the bottom, click on some of the links. There's a link in there from a front page New York Times article from 2014. And even though Obamacare is still in the news then as now, it seems like a different world in 2014. So in any case, this article is basically, 2 years after Obama's second presidential victory, right? And, the Obama sort of magic, the Obama aura, the Obama team is still in place, the Obama program. And so what's going on right now in this piece from 2014 is, the Obama administration has pulled together a bunch of aligned nonprofit organizations, and they've got the state-of-the-art data, and they're doing phone banking, and they're doing canvassing, and they've got, paid volunteers and unpaid volunteers. You've got all the hope and the change, and they're trying to get young people to sign up for Obamacare in the same way that they successfully got young people to vote for President Obama in 2008 and then right. again in 2008. Well, it's the same approach, boots on the ground, getting folks out there, except, as the New York Times points out in a front page piece from early 2014, nobody wanted to sign up because the premiums were too high.
Michael, I'm remembering this like a nightmare. Did they also solve a problem that I remember being identified early on after the election, which is people only signed up when they got sick and then they stopped paying after they recovered? Did they solve that?
No, none of these problems got solved. It was too expensive for people to want to have it. So it became a kind of a last resort And it became something that wasn't attractive because the regulations made the prices too high. And even though you could get, as the Times pointed out, young people excited about voting for Obama, you couldn't get them excited about signing up for Obamacare at inflated prices and subsidizing older individuals. And so what Congress ends up doing when Joe Biden is elected president is they say, you know what, we're going to fix this, in quotes, by throwing money at the
problem. And so they turned it into a single payer for people at do they have an income level for the single payer? Do they have a ceiling?
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on, John, in terms of what the trends are showing. So, you know, if you look at before these changes that Congress made during the Biden administration, the federal taxpayers were covering about 70%, less than 70% of Obamacare premiums. It's over 80% now. I mean, just in a very short period of time, right? And so, you know, it's the Unaffordable Care Act, unless you have massive taxpayer subsidies that go to insurance companies. So that's kept it, quote, affordable for the individuals that are getting covered, but it's also making it massively unaffordable for taxpayers. Rather than, again, and this is sort of what my piece is getting at, which is, you know, we could also deregulate Obamacare and we could deregulate the health insurance market, then do things like allowing the insurance companies to charge lower premiums for younger, healthier people. They would come in, you'd have a larger risk pool, right? You'd have a larger insurance pool, and that could actually bend the cost curve. The Obama administration tried to, quote, bend the cost curve by getting young people to sign up based on their affiliation with the program of President Obama and the persona of President Obama. But they looked at the numbers and they said, pass.
All right. But the debate in Congress, such as it is right now, is not about what you're talking about. It's about more money. That's what they want. More money.
That's what Congress has done. They've thrown more money at the problem. Right. And I think step one is we've got to admit we have a problem.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, step one is we have to look at what we're doing.
I want to also speak of your caveat about a single owner of a small business because we're moving into the age of AI. It's very helpful, Michael, when we come back. What else can go wrong and why? Michael Toth, Director of Research at the Civitas Institute, University of Texas at Austin. I'm John Batchelor.
This is Cheekies from Cheekies and Chill Podcast. My fur babies, ay, como me quieren. Even when I get home late or I'm too tired to play, es puro amor. And that's the kind of love I want to give right back. That's why I trust Hill's Pet Nutrition. Because you're only human, Hill Science does more. Most days my schedule is jam-packed. I'm either out all day recording new episodes of Cheekies and Chill, or I'm stuck in back-to-back business meetings. And I feel super guilty knowing my babies, Ryu and Pancho, are at home waiting for me to get back. But when I'm finally home, that's when I show them how much I love them by feeding them their favorite pet food. I know I can't always be the perfect pet parent, but with Hills, I'm much closer. Because science does more. Find the right food at hillspet.com/iHeart.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.